And every knee shall bow. Sometimes that's easier to say than to do. I'm remembering a number of years ago, how many is it, when we did Godspell here. And I remember, do you remember, Terry, all the getting down and getting up and how us of a few more years than the younger ones had to creatively work at ways of getting up off the floor. And I remember being jealous of a certain person who was so easily, it seemed, able to just pop up off his knees. When those of us, like Terry and I, had to make creative use of our hands to do so. And I can only say that it's gotten a little bit worse. Maybe getting down is easier. I don't know. But the getting up certainly is harder. Yay? And every knee shall bow. Love Feast's coming on Thursday. We're going to gather around, those of us who are able, and get down on our knees. For some, that's harder to do than for others, at least physically. Of course, in some churches, they recognize the physical part and they do it a little bit differently. Some go to hand washing for certain persons. Kind of an invitation, realizing that those knees just don't do what they used to do, right, Mary? But there is a spiritual kneeling that happens. This week we do a lot of that. Our life of Christ, a lot of our time is spent spiritually or physically on our knees. For there certainly is much we need to lay before the Lord. Today we certainly had quite a few concerns to be praying for, difficulties to be laying before the Lord. Now, for those of you who came in a little bit late, no, you did not miss the waving of the palm branches. We will have that time, but as I shared earlier, we are doing today a little bit differently. Perhaps we're being a little bit foolish in doing this way. But we are seeking to sort of reverse the pattern that is usually the case on Palm Sunday, where we come and we sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And then we start moving towards the cross. In the usual pattern, we often wonder, well, what was with those people anyways? On that day when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, they seemed to be all happy faces and all laying themselves, their cloaks, their palm branches before that donkey that carried our Lord. And then it seemed just a few days later, the cries of crucify him were coming out, right? Now, of course, we need to be a little careful when we make such assumptions. Let me just remind you that a good number of those people who were welcoming Jesus in with cries of save us, which is what Hosanna means, probably were not there in the courtyard of Pontius Pilate. I mean, think about it. Would the Roman authorities really have allowed a huge crowd into the green zone of Roman's authority? Probably not. They probably would have had their own homeland security enforcers there making sure. And we can wonder whether the crowd that was assembled in that place was not a bit prepared and perhaps paid by those who stood to gain from what happened to Jesus. But still, it is easier to cry Hosanna when there is no cross. It is easier to lay a palm branch down before you know what hits the fan. So today, we think about that. We have heard the old, old story. And we have the old rugged cross before us. If you remember last week, I sort of talked about the cross and this being Alexander Mack's symbol. The cross plus the human heart. The heart emphasizing that our faith needs to be heartfelt. It is not just a head exercise. It is something that includes all of who we are. And that the gospel of Jesus Christ lies at the center. What perhaps I did not say, but was implied, is that this heart, and we were remembering some words of Jeremiah talking about the promise of God that God's law will be written, it will be inscribed, not just on tablets of stone, but upon the human heart. And that very heart, that very inscribing, is God's work in us through Christ Jesus. The Word made flesh. The Word written upon our hearts. But I also lifted up how the fact that in the symbol there is fruit. And how this heart is to bear fruit in our lives. We come toward Easter, we're not there yet, with this in mind. And today we have added the crown of thorns as we remember the journey that went through Golgotha and the cross upon which Jesus was crucified and died. We can understand the gospel in a number of different ways. We can talk about it and argue about it. In fact, the church over the years has done just that. We've had many councils. We've split in many different ways in our understanding of things. And yet still we have the same words that are coming to us. Those words that we heard earlier from Paul in the Philippians about having the same mind. Let me revisit those words. Where he said, if there is any encouragement, not raising a question that there is encouragement, but making a statement that there is. If there is, yes, there is. Any encouragement, any consolation from love? Yes, there is. There is any sharing in the Spirit? Yes, there is. Any compassion? Yes, there is. If there is any sympathy, yes, there is. So complete the joy. Be of the same mind. That doesn't mean agree on everything. Having the same mind does not mean that you walk in lockstep with one another. It means that your heart beats the heart of Christ. And that you are seeking the mind of Christ. Seeking the mind of Christ. Now, in this particular chapter, most scholars believe that Paul, in trying to get this across, reached into something that would have been familiar to these people. A song. A song that perhaps he did not write. Maybe he did. I don't know. A number of years ago, I put this song, the words, to a tune. You'll find it on your bulletin insert. Let's just read that again. Or should I say, let's sing that again. perhaps thinking about how the persons who first received this letter would have thought, yeah, I know those words. I know that song. Let your attitude to life be that of Jesus Christ Himself. Though He was in the form of God, He did not count equality with God a thing that He should grasp. Instead, He gave up all He was and became a slave. In human likeness He was born. This man put on humility. Jesus trod the path that led Him to His death, death upon a cross. Therefore, God lifted Him up high and gave a name above all names. At His name all knees should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The song is a statement. It sings out the gospel. It talks about what God did in Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, it descends and reaches a bottom point. Along the way, talking about how Jesus let go instead of grasping, how Jesus released, how Jesus did not strike back, that He came as a servant, even as a slave. I sometimes wonder about Christians who hear this song and yet are warmongers. I wonder about Christians who hear this song and have received the gospel and yet seem to preach prosperity, grasping for riches, grasping for power in order to receive it, when the gospel, as I hear it, is that the gospel is to be received. The kingdom of God is to be received with open arms, not to be fought for, not to be grabbed or grasped, but to be received. This was what Jesus did in achieving our salvation. And if this is the call for us to have the same mind, perhaps it is an invitation to live in this way as well. If you notice, there is a bottom to this song, just like there is a bottom, if you will, to the gospel. Of course, the gospel of John would say that this is actually the pinnacle. But for our discussion this morning, for my preaching this day, it is at the bottom, which is Jesus' death upon the cross. One of the great theologians of the last century, Karl Barth, once pointed out the obvious about this as he was commenting upon this particular passage. He said, you know, the tomb was a cave, not a tunnel. Think about that for a minute. The tomb was a cave, not a tunnel. Sometimes we approach the crucifixion as if it were just a tunnel. You know, in our self-help nature, this is where we got to go through. We got to go through this in order to get to there. But the story we have received puts it in no uncertain terms. This was an ending. This was a death. Jesus did not just simply fall asleep. Jesus wasn't like in Star Trek beamed up. Jesus died upon the cross, suffering there like anyone else. It was a death. It was an ending. It was the very bottom. And it was, at least according to this song, it was in obedience to the very will of God. You know, in our lives, we face into death. As far as I know, none of us have left this life alive. Death is a part of life. You know, barring the coming of Christ again, none of us are going to remain alive forever in these bodies. There is an ending point. And yet, and this is a tunnel. It's not a tunnel. It is the cave. After Jesus died, it says, on the third day, he rose. God rolled away the stone. Jesus didn't exit out the back of the tomb. He came out through the entrance. It was a new beginning. He was raised from the dead, and we live with that promise. That's what's coming in our celebration this next Sunday. We're not there yet. Of course, I know we're not highly liturgical people, so that, you know, this whole bit about Palm Sunday and Easter may feel a little strange to us. It's Palm Sunday. Much lays ahead. The upper room, the arrest, the trial, the journey, the cross, the tomb. But Sunday's coming. Easter is around the bend. Not a tunnel. That is what we have in mind as we come to the cross today. Now, on Palm Sunday, that original Palm Sunday, the people had their palm branches. And acting out kind of the liturgy of the day, they were crying a song which was from the Psalms. That Hosanna, the scripture. And it was a song of ascents. It was a song of climbing as people were coming as pilgrims to the temple in Jerusalem. And so it was very natural for them to see Jesus and to welcome him in as one who comes in the name of the Lord. But brothers and sisters, we are mindful of what lies ahead on this road. And I want to invite you to knowingly, since you know what lies ahead, to sing your song of palm branches and with all glory, laud, and honor. I invite you to bring your palm branch, and as you sing, and the words will be projected up on the screen, so that you can come forward if you are able. And those of you who are using devices that assist, you can decide what you're going to do with this, and that's fine. You can have somebody else do it for you, or if you so wish, you may do it yourself. Come forward with your branch as you sing, and lay your palm branch, and let it symbolize for you what it needs to symbolize for you. Not just some plant that you picked up along the way, but perhaps your very life that you want to lay at the foot of the cross. Your very being, your desire to seek the mind of Christ, your desire to be a disciple, your desire to be sent where God would lead. Place it at the foot of the cross, and if you have an offering that would normally be collected in the pew, just place it in the plates which are on either side. But I invite you, as you do so, to have in mind the Christ hymn that we just sang and the invitation that comes from following Jesus in that particular way. Shall we sing together? Rise if you are able and let us sing. All glory, laud, and honor. Hymn number 237.